is if you want coffee. I would like to come in and read the Word of God. Now look, if you are on your way to heaven, and I am on the way to hell, what is this to you? Leave me alone!
WBAI, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. I think you guys are doing a terrific job. There's some wonderful people overnight. I think Max Schneeb is brilliant, and Arpo Martin is brilliant, but I don't know how many people get to hear them. And I want to say thanks. That's a tremendous job.
Well, thank you very much for that.
Fair. This is the Dustbin of History on WBAI New York. And there's no time now because we have to hear this brand new, never before rebroadcast Gene Shepherd show I got from a cat named Mead. More than that, I don't remember. But it was originally broadcast on June 30th, 1961. It's called Feeding Big Dogs. A Friday episode ought to be real good. Gene Shepherd, here on the Dustbin of History, WBAI, New York.
Just watch me carefully tonight. I'm full of coffee and vinegar. And I'll be here until... Oh, yes. You just keep a very sharp eye on me. Like, about 2 days ago, I'm walking along Broadway there, and there's one of these places, you know, where they sell the stuffed bears, and they sell all the funny signs that say, hot diggity dog, vice president, you know, that kind of thing. With those, do you ever feel embarrassed by those terrible attempts at humor that you see in those phony headlines along there? You know, those headlines that they said of the... With his rimless glasses, there is an expression from medieval heraldry that describes the angle at which those glasses were being worn. It's not quite rampant, but almost. And he stood there swaying slightly into the wind. There was a heavy wind of about maybe a mile and a half strength coming down Broadway there, you know, and he swayed slightly. It was interesting to see him sway like that because mankind has been swaying in the wind, yes, for a long time. Well, he was swaying pretty good, and he was one of those guys, you know, you don't see him very often, who has the perforated shoes, you know, the white perforated shoes with the black bottom, the little thing in the bottom there. You could see where a little of that Griffin all white had slopped over down around the edges, and he was standing there swaying into the wind, and he had a blue jacket and light gray flannel slacks. There was a lot, you know, there was something about the aura about him of a prom that had let out, say, 35 years ago. He wasn't quite sure yet it was over. He was waiting for them to play, "It's 3 o'clock in the morning, la-da-da-da-dee." Even his flower in his buttonhole was wilted slightly, but wilted with style. And he stood there with his store teeth gleaming just ever so interestingly in the fluttering neon signs of Broadway. There was a half smile there, and the wind whistled past him. As I said, it was a good mile and a half wind there, and he swayed back and forth, and he was standing looking at a kind of a platform there, a tall pedestal, and on the top of the pedestal was a little tin doll of a teenager. And there was a little thing came up through the bottom of it, and there was a machine and a motor and stuff that was making it do it. And this little teenager was going, it was dancing. Little teenager with a little tin ponytail sticking up there. It was going. And in the background, there were 3 sailors and 14 girls all trying to get in one of those photography booths there that says 3 for a quarter. They were trying to make it go for at least 20 there. Have you ever felt the desire, the secret, sneaky desire to meet one of these chicks that you see in these little frames that you see pasted on the outside of these booths, you know? You know, the ones with the great big white flowers in their hair and the wild look in the eye? Yes. Like just a little bit overweight, but very interestingly so, you know, angrily overweight, if you know what I mean. They're looking out there at you. And there's a generations of sailors all looking at. Well, there were several there in the background, and there was a guy wearing a false nose with a pair of these false glasses, you know, the type, the little holes there for the eyes, great big eyeballs there, and he was smoking a rubber cigar. And this was all about 3 o'clock in the morning when things should have been peaceful, you see, and the wind howled along outside, and this guy just kept standing there. And the teenager is dancing, just a-going away there like mad. Those tin eyes staring out towards the direction of that big statue there, the Father Duffy statue. And Father Duffy is standing there in that same wind whistling past, wearing his bronze overcoat, his bronze G.I. World War I issue overcoat. It was a tremendous sign hung over the whole shebang. It says, get a suntan the right way. Get a suntan the right way. Blow it there, man. Well, it was pretty calm. You know, I suppose it's all in the way you look at things. I figure that, I think we should have a little cheap guitar music for this. Just a little, a soupçon of cheap guitar music. That's Friday. You hear that? Friday. Yes, what is it that is roused in you on a Friday night? Is it the tiger? Moving slowly, sinuously, with a terrible feline grace through the jungle of mankind. Huh? Is it the tiger that's roused? Or is it the mastodon? The great bull of the woods. Gigantic tusks crashing through the vines. Perhaps you have neither mastodon nor tiger at your command, at your beck and call, even though this is Friday. Could it possibly be that even though the tiger is dead in thy eternal soul and the mastodon is sleeping an everlasting sleep, that there is yet just the trace of an angry chipmunk? A chipmunk in the difficult season. You'll be surprised how difficult it is for chipmunks. And most understood completely and thoroughly. Oh, I'm here to warn you tonight. WOR, you know, has for a long time pursued a course of fearless public service. Bring it up there, Walt. Just keep your eyeball on the thing there. No. Has pursued a course of fearless public service. And one of our public service elements is to give you the things that you really need. Do you need rock and roll music? No. Do you need endless discussions about Beethoven, Bach, or Brahms? You can get those other places. And they'll probably do it better than we could ever possibly do it. Ah, but you've come to the right place. Tonight, as part of WOR's great public service program, I'm here to warn you that it's Friday night. Do you hear me? Listen carefully, man. Do you hear me? It's Friday night. It is Friday night in June. Look at that soft, velvet sky. Those stars arching overhead. Yes, yes. Raise your hand and feel that velvet zephyr of a breeze. Do you feel that? Do you know what this could mean, man? Friday night. Tonight could be the night the entire course of your life changes. And we here at WOR are concerned about it. Be careful. No telling what might happen tonight, Dad. Yes. Your whole life could change in a half an hour. Don't get confused about it. The glands are tricky things. Yes, there are many devices that play upon them. And forever and ever and ever, you'll go spinning through that cosmos of your life, wondering what in the world happened Friday night back in June of 1961. What insanity. Well, I guess it's no good to warn you, although we here at WOR, with our vast public service policy, feel that we ought to. We could come on here and tell you to join the Marines. That's called public service. We could tell you to go to church tomorrow or next day. That's public service. But I don't think you'd listen to me. Doesn't matter one way or the other. Going to church isn't going to save your soul anyway. Yes. So maybe we'd better just let it go at that. I'm going to warn you that it's Friday and it's June. Oh, but what a magnificent June. You know, all I can say is that I don't blame you, you know. I mean, it's not going to do you any good to go through. I mean, don't let me inhibit you. I wouldn't want to do that, no. Well, what can you say? What can you say? There have been countless odes. There have been innumerable bards who have sung of this problem over the eons. It stretched all the way back to the last glacier of the last ice age when they first began to discover June nights. Yes. And here it is. It's the 4th of July weekend. Don't let your youthful exuberance and don't let this June barometric pressure fool you, Dad. Love is a tricky thing. Yes. Often, a nice humidity is mistaken for passion. Yes. Quite often. I just thought you ought to know, as if you didn't know. But then again, I suppose it's not going to do any good to discuss it here, is it? So let me give you some background for your... You never know that instant in your life. You just never know when it will change everything. There's no turning back. Actually, there's no turning back ever, so it doesn't make any difference. So don't go around complaining about what you should have done when you didn't do it, because you should have known better. And if you had it to do over again, you would have done it over again. You wouldn't. You'd be just as much of an ass as you were this time. So forget that. Don't look back. No recriminations. I say, part of our public service, we're telling you this. Don't go around kicking your fanny. It won't do any good, because enough guys are going to do it for you anyway, and they've got a better knee action than you'll ever get doing it backwards like that, although you can try. All together now, let's go. There, heels up there, up there. It felt better, didn't it? You notice I'm moving well tonight. Oh, my knee there. It's all right. Hold it. Stop it. Speaking of dire warnings, this is WOR, AM and FM, New York. We warned you. We'll be here until Long John shows up in a half hour. Well, I thought I'd just warn you, and it is Friday, and it is June, you know. And I seriously, though, have often thought about that. I don't know whether many people examine their lives as it goes past them. I doubt whether many do. Are literally aware of their life. I wonder how many people actually listen to other people and literally react to the things they say. Like waiters and guys behind cigar counters and stuff. You know, it's a very odd thing when it happens. I can't describe how it happens or how you get to the point where you do this. But it's a difficult thing to force yourself to really listen to people. It's getting harder and harder in our day. Almost impossible today. And when an actor is working, he has to practically force himself to actually listen to what is being said. It's very difficult. And once you do, you find that things around you suddenly have all kinds of meanings that you didn't hear before. It's as though someone had wiped your lenses of your glasses or the windshield of your car. And instead of it being an old fuzzy black and white, the world suddenly was in color. And then you react to that, and people are very surprised when you do. Because they're not used to people really listening to each other. You know, they say, what'd you say? And then they're very pleased. He says, well, here. Speaking of people not reacting, there's something clean and honest about a guy genuinely reacting to something. You know, we live in a world of nice guyism, where everybody literally forces himself to be a nice guy about 90% of the time. He's with all kinds of fatheads who are doing all kinds of idiotic things, and he's just got to continue to play the game. He's sent out on ridiculous things to do, and he's got to play the game. So eventually, guys, you see thousands of them in agencies and offices and one thing and another, who have this strange, sad look about the eye. It's a kind of crinkly look. You know the look that those guys have in those ads that are constantly plaguing us these days, you know, where the ad world is making a hero of itself? They're usually line drawings, charcoal line drawings, where it shows two crinkly-faced, kindly-looking guys, and they're very carefully looking. One of them is putting something in a briefcase, and the other guy is looking down, and he says, by George, you just can't ignore the figures, Fred. It's a TV guide for us all the way. Arbitron says, whoop-de-doodle. And you just can't argue with that kind of stuff. They look like deep thinkers who have made a deep, very, very momentous decision based entirely on somebody's guesses, carried to the fourth or maybe fifth decimal point. And yes, and they're looking at each other. Well, now, that sad look you'll notice about the eye is the look of a man who has learned how to be a nice guy. Because most of us are not nice guys by nature. We have to learn how to be a nice guy, literally learn to be a nice guy. It's a trade. Do you know that there is one Midwestern university that teaches it now? They call it Humanistic Actions 1 and 2. How do you like that? They give 3 credit hours for smiling. Yeah, and they have 2 lab courses in grinning. You see, there's a very definite trick in grinning. You know, you can't push it. You got to grin right. It's got to come from within. You know, whoop-de-doo. That's a grin. That's an oralization of a grin. That's a grin. And then there's this kind of, hey, you bum. There's another kind of a grin. You can see it, can't you? Just a slight edge of teeth there. Those canines are sharp. Well, you know, we have to learn how to be nice guys. Is there a genuine nice guy with us tonight? I would like to talk to a real nice guy. You know? I think there is another crew of people who is usually ignored, and that's the wet blanket. Being an old wet blanket myself, I can always search out and find a wet blanket when I'm at a party. They kind of drift together like leaves, you know, at the end of a pond when all the water is flopping around, everybody's dancing, and the fish are having the ball, you know. All those wet pieces of wood and corks and old beer cans, those are the wet blankets. They drift to the end of the pond, always together. I've been to 25 parties in the last year and a half, and every time I go there is one wet blanket I never miss. That's John Wilcock. He's the worst wet blanket I've ever known at a party. He really is. He always is. And so John and I always find ourselves over standing next to the smoking stand or something, wet blanketing together. And it's something you can't work on. You're just either naturally damp or you're not. I mean, some wet blankets are soggy, others drip, and others are, you know, just a little damp, but it's all the same. It all comes out. And any nice guys with us tonight? I'd love to talk to one nice guy, you know, a real... Well, anyway, listen to this. Give me some... There we go. No. The other one. There we go. Yes, sir, that's my baby. No, sir, don't mean maybe. Yes, sir, that's my baby. Ain't misbehaving. Ain't misbehaving, saving all my love for you, baby. An unidentified man last night really kicked over the can. Patrolman Constantine Zalatos in Beverly, Massachusetts, went to the Leiden home at 6:15 p.m. to investigate a rather interesting incident. This is tonight's salute to tonight's man of the hour, tonight's humanitarian, tonight's really top-flight creative sorehead, and there ain't many of them left. Dad, put your angry mitt right here and let us know about it. The patrolman learned that the man had been riding a bicycle back and forth, apparently for exercise, in front of the Leiden house, just back and forth. And after a while, he and the Leiden dog, quote, did not see eye to eye. Finally, the cyclist, according to the story given police, hit the dog with a stick, then angrily chased the dog into the front yard of the house. When the dog took refuge in his home, the man tried to get in, and in so doing, ripped the screen door from its hinges. Let Peggy Fitzgerald feel that one. At that point, the man apparently realized that things had gone too far. He apologized and said he would pay for the door. Excuse me, ma'am. Things have gone a little bit too far. Yes, I think King is a very nice dog. Yes, I'm sorry, madam. The problem is now that Lydens have forgotten the man's name. They gave police the description of the dog chaser. They said he had a large hole in his pants and a section of his calf missing. He should be easy to find. Razzmatazz, howdy too. Razzmatazz and Rudy too. La da da pa ho 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 pa ho. Rock a ta 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 ta. Ba 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 ba. La pa na pa na. La pa ta na. Ra ho 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 ho. Ah 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 ah. Okay, now do you feel better? Well, vicariously, I feel a little better. Did I ever tell you about the time that I... The funny thing about dogs... You ever met a real dog? Oh, no, I don't mean these little things, you know. Oh, by the way, I'm going to say something that's probably going to infuriate a lot of people, but just has to be said. Poodles are not people. No, they're dogs. D-O-O-G-S, dogs. You hear that, lady? You hear that? Do you hear that? And by the way, lady, you will find... Dogs don't talk baby talk. I mean, people baby talk, that is. They talk dog baby talk. Not people baby. They're dogs. You get that? Dogs. And I found out about dogs the hard way. I have you ever had something to do that so frightened you? When you're a kid, you know, you get yourself caught in these things. And you hate to do it so much that there's a sick feeling in the inside of your stomach, down in the pit of your stomach, when you have to approach the task at hand. It's like going to the dentist, you know, that sickness. Do you remember the sickness when you thought you were going to fail something? You remember that? Or did you ever have that? Girls never have that, so it's all right. They don't have that. Oh, no. They're always... Their problem is whether they're going to get an A- or an A+. You know, that's their problem. No. I flirted with death, Dad. I remember one time in algebra. You know, I literally flirted with death. And Mr. Pittenger, he had a skull for a head. And he's standing up there, and he's looking at me with those two glass things that he had for eyes, those marbles. And he's looking down at me, and he says, "You're going to be here next semester, you know, Shepard, with me. So we might as well be friends. We're going to see a lot of each other." He taught only one semester of algebra. There was only one way you could translate that. And so I'm sick, you know. It's all of a sudden I'm made out of old potato salad inside, you know, and I all kinds of stuff is churning around. It's like I'm fermenting, you know. I can hear the bloop, bloop. You ever listen to a crock of beer doing it down in the basement? You want to hear bloop, bloop, bloop? That's the way it goes. Bloop. Crock of beer doing it. What don't you know about a crock of beer? Is it only other crocks of other stuff you know about, huh? Well, I know about that, too. I've been there, too. Ah, it's the same old creek. Anybody remember to bring the paddle? Oh, for crying out loud. Look at that crowd going past with an outboard motor. Well, how come we came up this creek anyway? What kind of a picnic is this? A pig's ear. I said ear. Well, you know, you get this sick feeling. Well, Pittenger looked me right in the eye, you know. There's no escaping it. And I went for weeks, carrying inside of me a chunk of lead that had treble hooks on it. And it just kept sinking lower and lower, digging right through my vitals. And we'd sit at supper, and it was like I had a secret. You know, have you ever had a terrible secret that just was so unspeakable? So absolutely, thoroughly unspeakable that you just couldn't say anything. You just sat there, and the mashed potatoes turned to paste in your mouth, you know, and you're shoveling in the red cabbage. It's like it's old cardboard. And I'm carrying this thing. Well, so I know the meaning of fear. I think all of us know the meaning of fear. And it was through an experience like that that I learned to look at dogs with a jaundiced eye. Very few people ever have this type of experience. Well, I had this experience. I'm about 10 years old, see? 10 is a very, very fluttery age. You're made out of little thin pieces of balsa wood at that period. It's like, you know, you were made out of a model airplane kit, a cheap one, and they were holding on the glue, you know? So I'm this kid. Well, about a block and a half away, this clown lived who worked with my father. And they were good friends. They played cards and hollered, you know, and drank beer and played poker together and went bowling and all that stuff. And his name was Heine. Heine Gertz. Hi, Heine. Oh, Heine Gertz already. Terrible sweat breaks out when I think of Heine Gertz. A lot of things with Heine. So anyway, Heine Gertz got it into his head to have these two insane, nutty dogs. They were... You never saw such dogs in your life. And he also got into his same nutty head to go on a vacation. What do you think he did? Yep. Comes to my old man and said, how about Genie earning himself a quarter a week as of next week for 3 weeks? Well, that's a cool 6 bits. I mean, when 6 bits was 6 bits. 6 bits in those days was worth at least 78 cents. And, of course, on top of it, you know, it was a moral problem because the old man said he'd be glad to. Yes. Well, so 1 week went by, and just about the day before Heine was to leave, I go over to get my instructions. I had never seen these hounds. I figured they were dogs, you know, dogs. Plain ordinary dogs. Hello, Fido. Sit down, you fathead. Get out of my way. Here's your bone. You know, a dog. Well, I go over to Heine's house, and it's a brick house. Oh, boy. It's terrible. I feel the same sick. Funny, when you really work with sense memory, do you know what is it, sense memory? Well, I'll explain the term. It means sense memory. You think you know what it means? Be careful. You think you know what it means, do you? All right, we won't tell you what it is then. You know. You tell me later. That'll be good. So, anyway... sick feeling, so I go to the house, and I'm very innocent. The next day, they're going away, and they had all their suitcases and all the jazz out there. And in the kitchen, he says, now look, Gene, every day when you come here to feed the dogs, you come into the kitchen, and he says, you will find up there in the cupboard, you will find 2 or 3 boxes of oatmeal. Now, you take a couple of handfuls of that oatmeal, and you put it in boiling water. Here's the pan. You just put in water there and boil this oatmeal, see? And then when it gets sort of gooey, you put it into these 2 bowls. He had these 2 iron bowls. I mean, I didn't know why they were iron until later. These 2 big iron bowls. He says, you put it in these 2 iron bowls. And he says, and then you will find in the bottom shelf there, you will find a whole row of, see them all down there? Those cans of dog food, you see, that says raw, red, bloody meat on it. It says right there, bloody meat, gorilla meat, it says. So now you take one of those cans each, see, open it up and put it on the top of the oatmeal. On each one, one can. Have a big 1 pound of oatmeal. What, you know, whoa. So these are hungry dogs. He says, you come in and do this every morning at 8. He says, now I'll tell you what you do. When you feed these dogs, you stand, they're down in the basement. He says, you stand over at the end of the basement, and there is a long pole down there. As you'll see it, it's right at the foot of the stairs. You take this bowl here, and you set it on the floor, and push the bowl towards the dog, the one over on the left first. Then put the bowl down and push it toward the one on the right, and stand back. What was that, Mr. Gertz? Just stand back. Don't pet the dog. He says, I don't think you'll try anyway. But just remember, use the stick. And when you finish, when they have finished eating, take the stick and drag the bowls back and take them upstairs, wash them. Lock the door, put the key under the geranium pot. You got it? And then the next day, repeat the same thing. This goes on every day, okay? And when you get back, when you get back to the house, make sure now, you got it? Make sure that the bowl is very clean. They like their bowls very clean, okay? And we get back from our vacation, we're going to give you some money. Now, you be a good boy, all right? Yes, Mr. Gertz. Well, the next day, I arrive. And it was a funny thing. Have you ever been in almost a total stranger's house with nobody else there? You get these urges, you know, to look in the medicine cabinet, you know, and all that stuff. Well, I arrived, you see, and I come up into the kitchen. There was a doorway right into the kitchen, and then there was a doorway from the kitchen down, left turn, into the basement. I had not been in the basement at this point. So I arrive in the kitchen, and I'm fixing the stuff, you know, and I'm banging around. And the first noise I made, a bang, I hear downstairs. The door is closed, see. Oh, and I began to sweat. All the second-rate horror movies I've ever heard came back, and I began to see, what is this? This can't be dogs down there. They had these low voices, low, rich, deep voices. It sounded like King Kong. Well, I finished boiling the oatmeal, and this rumble continued under my feet. And all the while, there's this awful thing beginning to bubble inside of me. And I put one bowl of gorilla meat, each bloody, on top of each bowl of soft, gooey oatmeal in the iron pots, big iron pots. And I go walking down the stairs, and I open the door, and I go down, down, and it's dark down there. I can't find the light switch. It's a real dark basement. One of those is really down under the ground, you know, a couple of little slits of windows, and I could see something moving. Oh, my God. I leap back. I move back up against the wall. Back up the stairs I go. Frantic. I'm holding these two bowls, and the blood is dripping down over my gorilla blood. They're smelling blood. I go over to the stove, and I get a match, and I light the match. I find the light switch. I throw it on. It's up at the head of the stairs. I'm walking on down, 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 down. Oh, you never saw such things. Oh. Oh. Have you ever seen 2 9-foot man-eating chows? I mean, these were man-eaters with purple tongues a foot long. Great fangs and red eyes. They'd been down there all day and all night without a sound, and they were mad and hungry, and they didn't know this creature that had come down. They have huge ruffs that stood out from their great ruffs, huge ears and enormous paws. And I had heard years ago when I was a real little kid that the only dog in the world that ever really ate people was the chow. 2 big red chows, and they were on the end of long silver chains running restlessly back and forth. The only pair of dogs I've ever seen that had collars with spikes on them. big iron spikes. I'm not kidding you. I don't know why this nut had these two insane animals down there. I mean, they were really nutty animals. And they'd run around the furnace, and they'd come back out again. You'd hear their paws scrabbling. And then once in a while, one of them would lunge. He'd lunge, and the chain would go. Oh, I look around. I got to beat him. I'd pick up. There's the stick. It looks like it's about 3 inches long. Oh, and I put the bowl, clink, down on the ground, and I push. And each inch I'd push, this dog, he's straining on the chain. The last, I have never seen anything literally kill oatmeal. Kill dead. I never saw anything like it. It was the first time I ever saw oatmeal bleed. And the bowl is going clink, bang. And the other one is going insane, mad, out of his mind. Was two giant males. And the other one was absolutely out of his mind. Now his fangs, he was slobbering. I put another bowl down. I push it too. And the other one got angry. Now next, they're both at each other's throats. I pushed the bowl. Safe. We both got a bowl now. And they're eating. You can hear this low rumble down in the... And every time I'd move, one of them would look up with one red eye. Stay away, you idiot. And they finally subsided. And they just sat there and looked at me with the most fantastic anger I've ever seen in a living creature. I had just fed them. I thought they'd love me now. They were waiting to get at me. You see, dessert. Well, I reached out with the stick. I reach out with the stick, and I get one boy. Reach out again. I got it again. I grab both of these bowls, and they're hot. Hot bowls. I run upstairs. I run the water. And out I go. I lock the door. Key under the geranium. And it's sunny out. The sun is shining. The sun is shining. Boy. What a relief. I go home and I say, Ma, I don't want to feed the dogs tomorrow. So what's the matter with you? Are you afraid of little doggies? Ma, I don't want to feed the dogs. So what's the matter with you? I'm going to have to send you to see Dr. Slicker one of these days. What's wrong with you? Nothing, Ma. I just... why don't you go out and play? Okay. 10 minutes later, I'm standing out in left field. My glove hanging limply. Keep your eye on the ball, Shepard! Yeah, okay. I'm just sweating. It's hot out. And all of a sudden, it's night. And I can't go to sleep. I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning in a sweat. It's almost morning again. And all of a sudden, I'm on that back porch. And the next thing I know, I'm in the kitchen. And I can hear... And I got the oatmeal on the stove. Don't get me wrong, I love dogs. We have with us Alba instant non-fat dry milk. And if you've tried all the instant non-fat dry milks and none of them have made it, you get at the Alba. You'll hit that jug of Alba dirt with them fangs up flashing. This tastes like real milk, and it makes it. Red meat. Oh, speaking of red meat, we'd like to recommend Prexies. Makes you kind of hungry, doesn't it? Don't you feel the juices flowing? We'd suggest you drop into Prexies. All up and down Lexington. All up there. 57th, 58th, 61st, 48th. They're open until 2 o'clock this morning. A real red meat hamburger. Down in the village at 6th Avenue there at A Street. They got a new one. 2 a.m. this morning. Don't fool around with the soft ice cream. You want red meat.
I want my hamburgers raw. College education. I want a dock worker's hamburger. One that spits. Brexies. They make them real. Oh, we have with us Ballantine Ale, too. Real hairy ale. Ballantines. Say it to yourself. Evo, the ancient Bacchanalian cry. Evo! All right, some more. Ballantine Ale, brewed with brewer's gold. Boy. Now you know about sense memory, don't you? Speaking of your senses, why don't you see your general tire dealer and find out about buying a new set of rubber for this summer? And while you're at it, visit Kinney's. It's much more friendly and certainly more fun to dent a rented fender. That's their motto. I mean, don't dent yours, dent ours. We got plenty of insurance. Kinney Rent-A-Car. Their model of the week is a wonderful Jordan Playboy. 1926 Jordan Playboy with automatic starter. That's the new electric starter. You'll have a lot of fun. The Jordan Playboy. Go down and see them at Kinney's, and they have special parking lots available for Kinney customers. And they don't charge you a cent. Oh, I'm still sweating. Oh, yes, and I suppose, well, there'll be a Saturday. We'll be back tomorrow at 12:15, just past noon. We'll be there to feed the dogs. I love dogs. All right. If you've ever been a paper boy, you know about dogs. You know why that guy jumped off his bike. Why, he tore the screen door right off the front of the house. And he's just one of the family. But, of course, you ought to see the family. They're all like that, too. Each one of them. He learns it from Mama. And from Dad. And from all the little kiddies. Happy... Oh, by the way, don't forget, kid, it's still Friday, and it's June. Be careful, will you? Just watch it.
Gene Shepherd from June 30th, 1961. Never before rebroadcast anywhere. Thanks to Mr. Mead for sending that along. And that's it for tonight's Dustbin of History. We'll be back next week if we're all healthy and alive with more exciting programming. Hope you enjoyed it. You can join our Facebook page. Yeah, this is okay. I bet there's more. Well, maybe not. So anyway, you can join our Facebook page.
Whether you're planning a...
Okay, sorry. We don't have time for your little announcement at the end because it's almost 3 minutes past 3 a.m. I've been Max Schmid. Thank you for listening.